I'm going to let you guys know this message is filled with questions. I'm going to encourage you guys, if you have a notebook, write them down, okay? Because I did. But the first question I'm going to open up with here is, how many of us are afraid of death? It's okay. It's an honest answer. If you're afraid, it's okay. I mean, if you're afraid to die, I mean, it's okay. Just determines a place. If you're not afraid to die, I mean, Jeff, he was in the military. They brainwashed him. You're not afraid of anything after you leave the military. But it's okay if you are. If you're not, that's good. That means God's brought you to a good place. Okay? I would ask if everybody would turn with me to Luke 21. And I'll be reading verses 10 through 18. It says, "Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and by brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost." Now, that's Jesus forewarning us what's going to happen to us. I mean, that's coming. That's now. If you're not going through these things now, guess what? You will be soon. And it's okay. Because you know what? We have a promise. And the promise is that not a hair on our head will be harmed. We won't have any harm come to us. Death is just something that's going to happen to us. How it happens is already determined. It's just a matter of when. Right? So, if we also look at John 14:12, he says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me and the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." And here is another promise that we have, okay? And that if we study the Word, not just read it, but study it, okay? We can see that we have a certain power that Christ has given to us. Amen? Amen? And so we have a power. He's given it to us. When we take the name of Jesus, we've conquered death. That's it. He's done it for us. We have it in us. It's done. It's already done. So what I would like to tell you now is that, okay, obviously now, you know, those of us that weren't afraid of death, we already had this. But if you were afraid of death, can you understand that? Can you take that in your heart and meditate on that and realize that there really is no reason for us to be afraid of death? Because if we call the name of Christ, it's already done. Okay? So for you guys that have that struggle, take that in your heart, meditate on it. And I would just like, now that we have that, we're all on the same page, welcome you all to death row. Now I know that seems a little weird. You might not think about it that way. But death row is exactly what we are going through right now in our spiritual walks. It is. If you think about it. If you just sit down and think about it, and when God spoke this to me in this word, I didn't even get it. I was like, what? I couldn't get it. But that's the title of this message, is Welcome to Death Row. Okay? Now, for those of us that may not know what death row is the part of the prison where prisoners are awaiting execution. There is no other way out. They're going to be executed. And it's a section of the prison where literally it goes cell to cell, and the closest cell is next on deck to be executed, lethal injection chair, wherever you're at, depends where you are. Ron White has a good joke about, you know, in Texas they're put in an express lane. You know, they'll do it however they can, the quickest way they can get them out. And it's not something to poke fun at, because a lot of people in prison and in death row don't know the Lord, and they're going to die, and you know they're never going to have that opportunity, unfortunately. But like I said, the thing is, and this is an illustration of our spiritual walk, that's the same thing. We know we're going to die, eventually. But the solution here is that we have a common denominator. We have a key. We have Jesus. And with Jesus, we're safe. He's going to walk through death row with us. He's already done it once. He's done it. But we're going to do these things He's done and greater works. He already went to the cross. He paid for all sins. He's died for everything. But you know what? We're gonna receive the same persecution. We're gonna probably receive worse persecution than him. When the time comes, the things that he had to deal with, we're gonna deal with. And if you're not dealing with it already, you will. It will come. You know, I don't want to poke fun at Pastor, but I come in this morning to help him, and sure enough, God's got him on his knees, sucking up a puddle of water on the floor in the basement. And you know what? That may seem like a little trial or a little tribulation, but some people, that's a big mountain, that's a big hill to climb. To keep our heart attitude right in that mind, and you know, when that stuff happens. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Like, when things happen like that, we kind of get bent out of shape, right? We don't want to have to clean up a puddle at 7 o'clock in the morning, because that's the first thing I always want to do in the morning. I wake up, stretch, get my cup of coffee, and start vacuuming puddles up. No. No. I mean, that's not what we want to do. We don't want to do that. But that's something that we have to think about. We go through those things, and that happens. Okay? Now, if we look at 2 Timothy 1, verses 8 through 12, I'm going to turn there real quick, we can see another illustration here of what I'm talking about. And this is Paul talking to, well, writing a letter to Timothy, if you guys aren't aware. Verses 8 through 12, he says, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." And if we see something, there's something really, really like very important here. Paul calls himself a prisoner. Now, there are times in Paul's life he was a prisoner. Literally, legitimately. He was in prison. He was shackled. He was in jail. I mean, that's all there was to it. Okay? But when he was in this prison calling himself a prisoner, he wasn't referring to himself as the physical prisoner being in a cell. He was referring to himself as Christ's prisoner. Okay? And we also see it again in Ephesians 3, where he directly refers to himself as a prisoner of Christ. Now, how many of us here can call ourselves prisoners of Christ? How many of us? Okay? You might think that, but you might not. You might get an awakening here, okay? But what we have to see is that when he was referring to himself as a prisoner of Christ Jesus, he was using that illustration to show us that we have to look past our earthly bonds. There's more to this life than what's right in front of us. But we don't see that. We can't see past today. We can't. We're physically kept into this time. We're physically kept into this space. That's just unfortunate. That's what our life brings us, okay? So, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the word prisoner, okay? Now, if you look in Webster's Dictionary, which none of you have with you, so I'm going to tell you what Webster's Dictionary says. A prisoner is a person or thing deprived of liberty or kept in restraint, okay? Now, the word prisoner actually appears in the Bible 13 times. Okay? But 5 of those times is spoken in reference to being a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Now, 5 is the number of grace, right? So, being a prisoner of Christ, the only way we can have that is through grace. Now, that's just a little illustration, okay? Another thing to keep in mind here is another little tidbit to go along. To be in prison in Greek is desmio. And what that means is to tie or to bind. Okay? Now, being bound is like this. You bind something together, or you bind, you know, two people together. Okay? There's a connection. There's something between two things or holding them together. Okay? So we can think about that. Now, when we commit our lives to Christ, He does something really awesome. Amen? Amen. What does he do? He sets us free. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dan. He does. He sets us free. He lets those shackles break off. We've been in a prison. We've been shackled. And he goes, you call my name, you're free. Boom. You're free to roam. But what do we do? I'm free! Yes! Woo!
And he lets us go. So, we're free and he lets us go. But the problem is we don't even think about where we're going.
We don't think about where we're going. We don't think about why we're free. We just been set free and that's it. That's all it is to us. It's like, we got to get out of jail free card and cool. But we forget about who set us free. We forget about why we got set free. We forget about all those things, okay? If we look at an example in today's world, prisoners are put in prisons for crimes. Something they did wrong that they shouldn't have done. They broke the law. Okay? Now, be it on good merit or they served their time, they're set free, right? They served their time or they were good enough in prison to earn, you know, their way out. So they're set out free and back out to roam the world and be a good citizen. However, that's not what they do. They go back into the world and they do the exact same thing they did that put them where they were. This is at least a good 90%. Okay? They will go back out and they will commit the same crime that got them locked up and they will end up right back where they were put. Well, guess what, guys? Spiritually, that's what we do. That's what we do. We'll turn around and we get set free and we think we have it great. God set us free. Oh, cool. Awesome. Now I'm in control. I can go do whatever I want. Mm-mm. Doesn't work that way. See, what happens is that Satan did something really, really cruel to us when we were locked up in our prisons. He made it feel like we had control. He gave us the desires of our heart. The sinful desires of our heart. He provided that for us. He wanted to keep us locked up. So all those things that we had that seemed really great before we knew Christ, we thought we controlled it all. We thought we had control over it. I controlled myself. I controlled everything around me. I knew what was going on. I had it under control. How many people were there before Christ? Okay? Because that's what we were comfortable with. That's how we were comfortable. That's how we lived. And then we got set free. We didn't change. We didn't change. Why didn't we change? Because we weren't prisoners of Christ. We didn't want to bind ourselves to Christ. We didn't want to do that. And there's reasons for it. I mean, I look at prisons today and you know what? Look at the luxuries that are in the prisons. They come with gyms, pools, 3 meals a day, heat, electricity. They take care of you. People that have messed up lives, they'll go and they'll commit a crime just to go to prison because it's better than what they have now. If a prison wasn't a great place to be, you know, as far as commodities and stuff, people probably wouldn't want to be there. But, you know, that's just kind of the world we live in today. And Satan does the same thing to us in our walk. He'll use those things that we liked and that kept us locked up before to get us to come back to our prison cell. Because that's what it is. And as Holly was pointing out in her message before, that's our carnality. You know, that's our pound of flesh. That's whatever we want. Okay? But his whole thing, Satan's whole thing is he's going to deceive us until the day we die. He will continue. He will not relent. He wants to get us back into our cell. Because by doing so, he beats Jesus. But he can't. He can't beat him. He's already dead. He's already lost. Right. Amen? Amen. So, here's the question I have for you guys, is how do we avoid all that? How do we avoid all that once Christ sets us free? How do we avoid all that? Okay? There are two simple ways to avoid all these pitfalls, which is the first one, becoming prisoners of Christ, which I had already mentioned to you guys. And two is having accountability. Okay? How many of us know what accountability is? It's good. I'm very glad because I don't want to have to explain it. By binding ourselves to Christ, we start to become like Him. Amen? He changes us supernaturally. We don't even notice we change. The person I was 5 years ago isn't the person I am standing before you now. And I praise God for that because I couldn't do it. I have no control over that. I can't do it. I know I can't. That's why I bind myself to Him. Okay? But when we do that, when we bind ourselves to Christ, He starts changing us. But what's the thing? We don't like change. We don't. We don't like change. We like what we're comfortable with. God says, okay, well, I'm going to take this out. Well, what are you taking that out for? Well, you don't need it anymore. But I like that. Well, that's too bad. I don't. But we start to drift. And we start to drift a little bit distance, a little bit more distance. Can you guys see that? Because it's really important for us to understand that, you know, by us staying bound to Christ, those things will happen, but there's a reason for it, okay? That's the thing that keeps us staying prisoners of Christ, is because we rather have what we want. We rather do the things we want to do. Things get taken out. We don't like it. You know, fill in the blank. I mean, you guys have your own lives. There's certain personal things in your life that are going on for a reason. We don't like it all the time. But that shouldn't mean that we have to stretch our arm further away from God. Okay? When we're bound to Jesus, we're accountable to Him for everything we do. Everything. When end times come and we stand before Him, we're going to give an account. Amen? For all the things we did. Everything. He's going to open it up. It'll be like a projector screen. He's going to go through and He's going to say, so, what were you doing here? I don't know, God. Well, that wasn't really showing me, was it? No, it wasn't. Yeah, wasn't. You know? I mean, it's not to punish us, but it's to show us where we fell short. Okay? But it's not a bad thing. It's just to show us where we were and where we are now. It's literally, that's all it's for. Now, if we sit there and we take it into perspective here, okay? When that happens, when things happen and we don't like it, we're bound to Christ, okay? What'll happen is instead of, because we're accountable to Him, and He's causing us to change, and there's things about that, you know, I don't want to, you know, I like the way I am, and I like where I'm at now, and you know, I'm good here. I'm in my bubble. I'm good. You know, but once I start having change or whatever, what I'll do is I'll step away. I don't want to change that. I like that. And I'll bind myself to something else. Or someone else. Now, if I could be so kind as to ask two participants. I'm going to use you, Jess, for once. Could I use you, please? You mind if I use you too, Pastor? Real quick. This is just a small illustration of something. God gave this to me, and this is really important. Now, I'm bound here. And now, I'm going to use Pastor as Jesus for now. Okay. Now, I'm going to bind myself to Christ. Now, when I'm bound to Christ, things are going to change. I'm going to change. There's a connection.
Right.
I'll go where He goes. I'll walk. He's leading me, though. All I'm doing is following Him where He goes. Now, here's what happened. When He takes me someplace I don't want to go, this is what I'll do. I'll take this off, and I'll either walk on my own, or I'll do something like this. I'll bind it to someone else. I'll bind it to someone else because I like where they're going to take me better. They're going to take me someplace I want to go. They're going to take me someplace I'd rather be, not where He wants me to be. And when I'm being bound, I can't get back to Him. As much as I might want to, I bound myself to somebody else or something else. Now, this is just imagery. I'm using Jesse and Pastor as an example. But think about your own personal life. It's just a slip knot. You can take it off. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Think about that. Think about what is it that you might be bound to? Think about it. Because if your spiritual walk, isn't that illustration of death row, where things are changing? You're coming more and more closer to Christ. As you're walking with Him, you're right by His side. He's gonna keep you accountable for every single thing you do. I mean, if you ever have time, sit down with the pastor. Ask him about where he was before he knew the Lord, and ask him about where he's at now, and how God has taken and changed every aspect of his life. You know, he makes fun of himself, you know, before he got saved, you know, he wasn't clean and he wasn't doing anything, and then, you know, he got saved and he's like, God, I'm not gonna be no Susie Homemaker. I won't be running the vacuum as he's running the vacuum. I won't be dusting the window, you know, as he's dusting over here. I won't be washing windows as he's washing the windows. You know, God's doing it. He's saying, he's fighting. I'm not doing it, but he's doing it. And he looks back and he's like, he still does it. But it's for different reasons now, because God supernaturally changed his heart. God's made the changes. His heart now lines up with what God has brought him to become. So, if we can see this, okay, the problem is we'll choose to bind ourselves to something else. We'll choose to bind to anything else we can find, because we don't want to be accountable to Christ for whatever it is we're going to do, or we want to do. And the thing we become accountable for, and this is really cool because God did this, literally changed this last night on the spot. He said that we will be accountable for three C's. We've had three E's, we've had three R's, we've had three everythings, but I don't think we've had three C's. But we have three C's that we're accountable for. We're accountable for our commitment, we're accountable for our carnality, and we're accountable for our character. And it's in that order. Because those are the orders that he'll start in first. He'll start in our commitment. Because that's something simple. How committed are you, Jesus? How committed are you in what you're going to do? How committed are you when you said, he's my Lord and Savior? How committed are you to that relationship? Because if you're in a relationship with a girl or a boy or whatever, and you're in that physical relationship, and you're not committed to it, is it going to last? No, it won't. It won't last. It will not last. The second thing is carnality. And Holly did an excellent job in showing us our carnality. How we'd rather do what our sin puts on us. Or we hold on to our sin. We'd rather keep it. We don't want to get rid of it. We'd rather do what we want. You know, and she said something very profound, is that we have to choose. There's no gray area. It's either this or that. It's either sin or Christ. We're accountable for that. We're accountable for the sin we hold on to. And we're accountable for our character, because that is the most important thing, because that's what's going to show Christ. He deals with those issues first, because that everything else that is us, of us, and starts building what is him in us and allows him to shine through. Amen? So now, if we can all picture this, then all of us, okay, call on the name of Jesus. We call on the name of the Lord, and we'll turn around and we'll bind ourselves to him. Now, if we're all bound, Rachel, you're bound to him. Ed, you're bound to him. Miss Karen, you're bound to him. Dan, you're bound to him. I'm bound to him. We're all hanging on. Now, I'm accountable to Jesus, right? Dan, you're accountable to Jesus. Ed, you're accountable. All of us are accountable to Jesus. Pastor's accountable to Jesus. Now, let me ask you this question. Is Pastor accountable to me? Yes, he is. Why? Because he's connected to the same vessel. I'm accountable to Jesus. He's accountable to Jesus. Boom, boom. Guess what? I'm accountable to Pastor. Pastor's accountable to me. Dan, you're accountable to Ed. Jesse, you're accountable to Sean. We're all accountable to each other because we are the body. We are. We make up that body. Each part needs its other part to work. Muscle connects by tendons, okay, to the bones. Without the bone, the muscle's just a blob flopping around in the air. Without the skin protecting it, it's all going to decay. Everything is needed, necessary, in the body to help the other parts work. We're all accountable to each other. But see, the thing is when somebody brings something up and we don't like it, we turn around and go, you don't have the right. Well, I say otherwise, because I call in the name of Jesus, you call in the name of Jesus. Says it right here in his word. Why aren't you doing that? I know Jesus has been telling you about it. Says it right here. It's confirmed. And you heard it from someone else. There's two more. I mean, but we don't want that. When somebody brings something up to us we don't like, we get an attitude. We throw it up in their face. You don't have the right. Who are you to tell me what to do? I got this under control. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't have it under control. And it's okay, though, because you know what? We're all in a certain spot in that walk. We're all in different places. But you know what? Our aspiration should be to emulate Christ. And if we all have the same heart and that same mindset, if someone comes into you and says, listen, brother, you know what? I know you're going through this. I want to help you get through this. That's why God's showing me this for you. What can I do to help you get through it? That's how we need to be. Judgmental. We're not the judge. He is. He'll judge us at that time. But you know what? And it's not even him judging us. He's just going to simply point it out in here. Because guess what? These are the answers. These are all the answers. It's really, really, really important for us to understand that, you know what? As I'm saying before, death row, you know, this is our walk. But the thing is we're all in the same cell. We're all in the same cell. We're all going the same walk. We're all going to get there eventually. Maybe Ed, you'll get there before me. Maybe Sean, you'll get there before me. Maybe I'll get there before Ken. Age doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how old you are. It matters when God called you. When your time's up, your time's up. We don't know that. We have no say on what time it is. He's going to come like a thief in the night. No one will know the hour. We don't know that, but we do know that that will happen. That will come. That time will happen. And when it does, the only thing that's going to be firm, the only thing that's going to matter is, were we accountable to Him? Did we walk the way we should have? Did we support each other? Were we accountable to each other? Were we accountable as a church? You know, we come together here on Sundays, guys, and you know what? I think we get lost in the fact that, you know what? It's important for us to be accountable to one another, but it's also important for us to have the same heart. We're here as a representation of Christ. And you know what? We all, like I said, we all call on the name of the Lord. If we're not representing Him well, we need to take a look at ourselves, examine our hearts. Real quick, and I will end shortly here, is that during our time here in the walk, okay, life's going to bring whatever it brings. We don't have any control over it. But there is something we do have control over. And the thing we need to understand is that, and this is simple, but it's also profound, is that, you know, you hear pastor all the time saying, this is our classroom, right? But the thing is that we don't, in a classroom, you're there to learn, right? You learn stuff in your classroom. Well, God told me something that our lives, our life, homework. What you're going through right now, be it what it may, you have some kind of trouble going on financially. You could be going through some spiritual changes in your walk. You could be going through some relationship problems. You could be going through some problems with school, best friends, you know, arguments, whatever, work. Whatever's going on in your life now is homework. And the best part is, say this is our textbook, right? You say this is our textbook. We hold it up every day and we say, Lord, I have your word and I believe it's true. It is everything it says I am. I have everything it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do. But if this is your textbook, you don't open it up, you don't read it, you won't know. You won't know the answers for your homework. But you know what? Think of it this way. At the end, there's going to be a test. Your life is the homework, but there's a test. You need to not just read the Bible, but if you're going to take a test, you need to study it. It's one thing to just open it up and read a passage. It's another thing to sit there and let it penetrate your heart, to make it a part of you, so that when the time comes, that homework assignment comes up in your life, you're prepared. You're going to already have the answer. Amen? Amen. Amen. And that's my message. I just ask you guys, bow our heads and just pray with me. Father God, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for the word that you've given today, Lord. God, I know that you've pushed many buttons in my life during this week, Father God, that some I didn't mind, some I did. But, you know, you brought me to a plateau, Lord, that now I can go to the next level, Father God. And I just thank you, Lord, for opening up the doors you have, Lord. God, I pray right now for just an open mind, Father God, and a renewal of our mind, Lord, that we would just start to incorporate a new vision, Lord, this church, Father God, that would be rejuvenational, Father God, for all your people, Father God. Lord, I just pray, Father God, that you would just bless our time, Lord, bless Pastor, Father God, as he prepares to bring forth this meeting, Father God, this congregational meeting, Lord. God, I ask that you just open the hearts, Father God, of all of us today, Lord, that we would be open-minded and receptive to what will be shared with us today, Lord, Father God. I also pray, Lord, for your safety of your people this day, Lord, as their travels may bring them to their destination safely, Lord. And I just thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.